Hi, everyone. This is Jennifer Bagnashi with Deep Believer. Today, we have an exciting guest with us today. She shares with you the effects of having a parent who was raised in witchcraft. Even though the parent may not have done witchcraft, or even if they had done witchcraft, it doesn't even matter. The effects on the child, you're going to want to hear what it does. Samantha Elizay, thank you so much for being with us today.
No problem.
Now, you are the daughter of Marjorie Elizay, and your mother, Marjorie, she was on our show last year, and she shared with us the hidden secrets of voodoo. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to start because you know a lot about this because your mother was raised in it, even though she was not a practicing voodoo of anything. She was actually raised in it because of her father. But right. Let's start with you. How did you grow up?
So I did grow up in a Christian home, and I grew up in church. Like, if my mother could have me in church, she would. So I ended up being at a hospital. And my mother was very, by that time, because she was saved by the age of, I think she said 12. She was already saved by them. So by that time, we were brought up in church, Sunday school. We would stay in church, Sundays, prayer meeting. I mean, every meeting that you could think of, we were there. So we were already there. So we were raised in church, but there were some certain things that happened throughout my childhood that I experienced that I didn't think was demonic at the time. Later found out they were.
So what were they? Now you've got me thinking.
So I remember, like, my mom back then, a lot of people didn't like her per se because she stood up for, she was righteous. She stood up for justice of the Lord. She was very devout. And a lot of people found out to rub them the wrong way because it kind of called them out for what they were doing because they were not supposed to be doing those things. And sometimes my mom would randomly speak and the Holy Ghost would tell her to say these things. And she didn't want to, but she found herself doing that. So therefore, she ended up making enemies in a way. And a lot of people just didn't like, they just didn't like her or that about her. And then so, and especially when you walk in the light and then whatever's on certain people, whether it's demonic spirits or just demons in general, they can sense that. And they just, she rubbed people the wrong way.
So did that church not believe in words of knowledge?
It was, well, back then, my mom was, she told me that she was experiencing ascending. She was experiencing different things, like into the realms. She was seeing certain things. God was speaking to her and revealing certain people. And she was like, I didn't ask for this. However, as we know now, that's just a part of being a follower of Jesus. But at the time, she tried to go to leadership at the time, and sometimes they just didn't have an answer for her. So she would walk in like the prophetic. She would walk as a seer sometimes and didn't really know how to handle it or what to do with it because as she was looking for guidance, you know, wisdom and a multitude of counsel, but she couldn't find it. And a lot of the times wherever she would go, we would be there, me and my older brother, and I can't speak for him, but I'll speak for myself. So we would always be with her. My mom tried to bring us with her wherever we would go. And sometimes, you know, when she was around said certain people, it's like she would have those she would tell them what the Lord would say through her, and we would be right there. So if you're rebuking somebody and I'm right there and my brother's right there, the first thing you're going to do is say something negative about that person and usually their children and their family. So as she got out of what she experienced as a young girl and even a teenager or young lady, then she had us. She's now into the things of the Lord. And now as we're with her, she's experiencing these manifestations of people having demonic wicked spirits in them, on them, around them, through them, whatever, you know, whatever they're going through. And then as we're with her. So it's like they're cursing her and us.
So the people who was cursing her and her children were they people of the church or were they just other people?
Some of them were people of the church.
Okay.
Actually, to my recollection, a lot of them were people that, you know, identified themselves rather as Christians, as Jesus followers. So yeah. I remember like certain things where I was like, and I was a young girl, but I remember like specific encounters that I had that was strange, even at the time, but I was a kid. So I just kind of like, you know how when things happen and it's strange, you just like kind of move closer to your parents. That's all I did. You know, I want my mom. And then I just guessed, it's all better now. You know what I mean? As a child.
Yeah. Okay. So for those who may not have seen your mother's interview, so they can get a little visualization in their mind of why your childhood and your upbringing was the way it was, could you just give us a recap of your mom's life so that'll better help the viewers understand why your life became the way it was?
So in the very beginning, my mom, she came here from Haiti when she was, I think, 2. And then I think my dad came here too, but he was older, but obviously not at the same time. So my mother came here, and when they came here, her father, he used to bring them to like voodoo ceremonies. He wasn't a priest or a voodoo priest or anything like that, but he was a participant in these ceremonies, and my mother was there. She wasn't sacrificed, but they were present, her and my aunts and uncles. They were just present. So, you know, when you're present, when you're surrounded by those demonic things, they could come around you, inside you, on you, whatever happens, you know what I mean? And then, my grandmother, she was a devout Christian at that time. So same thing. She went to church however many times a week. Her and her children were always in church and following the things of the Lord. My mom used to tell me my grandma would always pray. She was such a praying woman, you know? So whatever affects my grandfather or what he was participating in and bringing my aunts and uncles, including my mom, around, it's almost as if she null and voided it with her prayers. It was null and void with her prayers and going to church and attending church. So then when my mother reached the age of 12, she was able to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And she was saying, like, when she was around that age, she was hardcore Jesus, I stand for Jesus. I love Jesus. And from that point on, I don't remember my mom being anything less of that. And that's what she was saying. She was very into the things of the Lord. She was very into following what the Lord said, what the Bible said, the revelation she was given. And when you're not walking correctly, or maybe if you're just lukewarm, what happens is that it tends to rub people the wrong way when they're not ready to come to the Lord themselves and someone else is telling them or rebuking them. You know, as you're trying to, let's say, play, you know, an instrument for a band, or you're trying to sing in the choir and you're doing something, you're sinning. And this woman, aka my mom, is letting you know or calling you out on something that, you know, especially back at that time, how would you have known? I didn't tell anybody. And that's what my mom was doing. So she'd go around sometimes, or she'd be, because my mom does sing. So she'd be in bands, you know, with my dad, or like at the time, and choirs, and she'd just be calling people out, and that would rub people the wrong way. Or let's say she would be in church and she was in like the prayer team. And she would, you know, correct certain people and like, oh no, that's not how you should be doing this. If you're going to be doing this, you should be doing here. If you're going to be doing that, you should not be doing that. And people don't like to be told that until they're ready or until they see it for themselves. So then now you have people, you know, cursing you. Like if I were to say to you, oh, you know, I don't like you and I hope this happens to you or this bad thing happens to you and your family, they're cursing you. You know, so, and that's what they would do to my mom. So then fast forward, when I was a kid, I remember like, even in the church, women would come up to her and say things that were just, would be like, oh, that's an odd thing to say. You know what I mean? And my mother would constantly, I wouldn't say definitely not bicker, but she would understand at that time, like, oh, okay, these people are not welcoming me here. Or like Satan is in the church, because there's no way you should have an attitude like that, you know? And when I say like that, I just mean, you know, kind of condescending or rude or not so, you know, welcoming or heartwarm, you know what I mean? And I would be there for certain things. And I remember even myself, because I was a very shy kid and I didn't like anybody. I didn't like anyone. I did not like anybody. So I liked very few people when I went to church. And I was very shy. I was not the kid that ran away from their parents. If you wanted to find me, I was right next to my mother. I was right next to my father. I wasn't the kid that, oh, I can't find my kid. No, I was right next to my parents. Like, if I can get any close and be next to them, I would be on stage with them. That was me. So I remember the atmosphere that would be created by the conversations. And I could tell, because I could always tell when my mom was like irritated, because I was always around her. And even I was so young, I could still tell. And I was able to tell when two adults were like not getting along. And I would be right there with my mom. And sometimes I'd be like, oh, this isn't going well, you know? And so that, yeah. So the cursing of my parents, it's like it showed in certain things that I saw and experienced when I was a kid.
So when you said that people would speak things against your mother and you, and that happens so much, right? Like we always hear, you know, you and your kids are going to do this, you and your family.
Right.
I want this, you know, like people think that it's just speaking out of anger, but what is it really? And is it truly effective?
That's witchcraft. You are speaking negativity and you're speaking down, and you're, I guess I would say, quote unquote, for lack of better words, wishing or wanting something harmful to happen to that person or those people. Like if the Lord said, well, the Lord does say, not if, but he says life and death are come out of the tongue. Okay. So if you're not speaking life into that person or what you want for that person, because a lot of people focus on what's wrong and what's missing. And so when you experience it, you're like, oh, why is this happening? Well, that's all that comes out of your heart. That's all that comes out of your mouth. That's all that comes out of you, you know? So in that moment, if that person is, you know, rebuking you with love, you know what I mean? And you just can't take it and you know it's true. You're just not ready to stop doing or continue to or do what you need to be doing for the Lord. It's hard to hear. It's hard to hear. People have issues with that, you know what I mean? And I think that's just what my mom experienced. And that's, unfortunately, that's when I started to like see certain things.
Well, we're going to get to that. We're definitely going to get to that. But I have another question for you. We're going to piggyback off of that. So say if a born again believer is protected because, you know, they're not walking in sin, the Lord's protecting them, and a person puts a word curse upon them, or they try to, what happens to the person who tries to apply that word curse?
Oh, it should go back. It shouldn't touch them at all. It shouldn't touch them at all. So when if you're covered and you're walking and you're with the Lord and you are aligned, meaning you're in the secret place, you have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and somebody says or does witchcraft on you, it should not touch you at all. It shouldn't touch you at all. And I wouldn't be surprised in the secret place if Lord Jesus Christ revealed to you, oh, this person that you're actually hanging around, because that's why you need to be very careful who you have around you, who's in your circle, and ask the Holy Ghost to reveal them to you. So you make sure that you don't have anybody speaking against you and your purpose. That's also like kind of like a sidebar. Never tell anybody what you're doing or what you're about to do until only if the Lord tells you to, because you need to receive some sort of extra information from those people. Don't tell anybody anything until it's completed and it's a testimony. So because you have no idea, there are certain people that you would never have thought that would be against you are against you and have not have already done actual witchcraft, like gone to a witch and have done witchcraft on you. And it's really sad. It's actually really sad. And I think the more people start to get acquainted with seasons, because everything, even relationships, are seasons, you know, and sometimes it may be one season or two or 15 or 25, however, that's why you need to know and you need to have that relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. And have a growing relationship, not a stagnant relationship with Jesus Christ, a growing relationship with Jesus Christ, and make sure you are on that purpose that the Lord Jesus, Abba, Father, Holy Ghost curated for you, that brings him joy, okay? And that you will complete in its whole purpose. I'm sorry, in its entirety, actually. Not because who wants to come here? You're here, you're alive, and you do 50% of your purpose. Yet you want God to care for you for eternity? No. You know what I mean? So when you're walking with God and you're doing what you need to be doing, you know what you should be doing. Because some of us actually know, you know, some of us don't know, right? And he does have grace for those people. However, there are some children that they know what they should be doing and they don't. And then you expect, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, and it's not. And you're looking at God as he's the problem, but it's you because you're not going into the secret. You're not having a relationship with him. You are allowing your flesh to take over you. And then when witchcraft and you're giving Satan legal rights, so when they start taking those spells, witchcraft, I know Mr. Earthquake talks about witchcraft and you, those things take they occur, they come towards you, and you're like, no, here's the prize. You're not doing what you need to be doing. It's like cause and effect, you know. So the more you're with God, that fortress, that protection that he has, Psalms 91, when he said, paraphrasing, when he said, you know, if they fall on one side 1,000 and the other side 10,000, they will not touch you. You know, and to getting to know who you are and become confident in who you are in Christ. Because once you know who you are in Christ, you will look at Satan like, ugh. You know what I mean? You know, so, and then when he tries to come for you, you know, you are already on offense, so he can't, you know? So it's more so like we just need to really know who we are and really get that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ going. That and the Holy Ghost, oh my goodness, that is what really turns things around for you.
Okay, so you mentioned something earlier at the very beginning, how you said prayers can ward off curses. Now, some people, when they hear that, you know, they're trying to curse you, they get so petrified. These are believers, they get petrified. But what do you mean when you say that prayers can ward off curses?
Well, when you're praying and when you're participating in spiritual warfare, when he tells you to put your armor on, you know, in Ephesians 6, when you're speaking in tongues and you're roaring and you're growing in the spirit, that's war. You're going to war. That's protecting you. And the more you do that and the more you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to become confident and you're going to realize, okay, yes, if I don't do what I'm, if I don't grow and elevate, because there's levels to, you know, being close to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's levels to this. There is. It's not just this, oh, I received the Lord, I'm a Christian, that's it. No, there's way more than that. There's so many things God had told us to do, and we haven't even done it yet. Like in the first chapter, he said, take over the fowl of the air, fish and the sea, beasts on the land. We didn't do that. We did not do that. Let's be honest here. We did not do that yet. There's so many instructions he's given us throughout the word, like plain text, you know, like when he talks about raising the dead, how many churches are actually doing that? They're not, you know what I mean? So we need to grow in those things. As we're growing and warring and having that relationship and having casting out our flesh, because our flesh is another thing that Satan uses to come and like infiltrate and try to persuade us so ever so slightly. We're like, oh, I could skip prayer tonight. Oh, I could skip prayer tomorrow. You know, and that's how Satan is allowed to gain legal right and then infiltrate you and then curse you. Or it could be bloodline curses you never got rid of. And it's just kind of just going down the bloodline. And you're like, oh, God isn't real. No, 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 he's real. You just didn't do your part. You know what I mean? And then there's some people who are hurt, rightfully so, However, you're hurt and you're mad at God and you don't go to God and ask, hey, what happened? Was it me? Was it not me? You just stop talking, cold turkey. God's the problem. You know, you don't look at yourself in the mirror because you could be the problem, you know, or the people around you could be the problem. Like there could be many problems here, like, you know, so, and then that's how you're opening doors. It's like you're in a hotel room. I'm sorry. You're at a hotel rather. And that's like all the doors to the hotel is being open in. And then you're like, oh, where did this curse come from? You know what I mean? So I think that's the issue. It's like when you're not covering yourself constantly, like covering yourself and then asking the Lord, like, Lord, send your legions of warring angels over here to protect me, to build a fortress above me, around me. You know, Heavenly Father, equip me so I can fight and chop the heads off these demons myself in the name of Jesus, because he gave us power. He gave us authority as well. You know? He defeated death. So we should be slicing, you know what I mean? Slicing these demons up, like chop, like, yeah. They should be afraid to be here. They should actually be planning to, are we going to be able to stay on this earth? Because, you know, God's children are waking up and I don't know what to do. No, instead they're like, you know, propping up their lawn chairs, okay, on your lawn and drinking a mimosa. Like what? Like, no.
So let's go back to your youth and your childhood. Mm-hmm. So your mother was raised into voodooism. She wasn't a part of it, but she was raised in it. She saw it and she saw the rituals and all that stuff. Now let's go to you. So how did it have effect on you as a child? What things did you experience? What things did you see as a child because of the effects of what your mother was raised up in?
So I started to see like things and like figures, especially like shadows. I was afraid of the dark as a kid and I could not go to sleep without a nightlight, and the nightlight had to be kind of bright. So like kind of bright enough to bring like illuminate the corners of the room. That's where I would always make sure I can see the corners of the room. And like if I had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, that was also like, oh my gosh. So my parents would leave on like light just in case I had to use the bathroom, because I'd be so scared like if they forgot to do that. And I'm just like, I open the door and all I see is pitch black. I'm like, oh my god. I would be so scared. So I was really scared of the dark. And I would see things. I would see like figures and I would just, no, I can't be seeing that. I would hide under the covers, you know? So it was little things like that where I was just like, what is going on? But because I was just so shy, I never really mentioned it to my mom. I kind of just kept it to myself.
Okay, so what other things did you experience? You used to see shadows. Mm-hmm. What else did you? Because you were very sensitive. You told me how you were very sensitive to certain things.
So there was, my mom had mentioned that she was, we lived in this apartment and the upstairs woman, she was literally doing voodoo. I remember that. I remember the eggs. I remember the chickens in the front door. I remember them arguing. I remember all of it.
Samantha, really quickly. Okay, so now you're filling in gaps, because a lot of people who saw the interview, they remember this, okay? They remember, and this is the witch that was above you, who when your mom put the prayer on the wall, she screamed, mm-hmm. She wouldn't touch it, she wouldn't go that way. So, yep. Okay, continue to fill in the gaps that we didn't hear from your mom's point of view.
Okay, so let me adjust myself. So I remember this. So I remember her, they would argue. Like there were times my mom would just start singing, my mother and the upstairs woman.
Okay.
My mother would just start singing and it would annoy her and she'd be screaming, she would curse a lot. You know, and I remember the verses she put on the wall. I remember being like scared. I remember one.
Okay, really quickly. Sorry, mm-hmm. I don't mean to cut you off. No, it's but good. Many people were asking what the verse was that she put on that wall. That was a main question. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it. I'm okay, never mind. Sorry. Repeat that part. I thought you were going to say it because everyone was like, no. What's the verse? Okay.
All right, I don't remember. You want me to ask her?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
A few moments later.
Psalms 109. I remember it got heated between the both of them. Like, I think my mom was being kind of nice. When she was explaining it, And it got heated. Like the woman upstairs was always cursing. And sometimes my mother would go back and forth with her, not cursing. And I remember one time it got really scary. I called the cops. I remember I was the one who called the cops. Yes. And they showed up. Yeah. I called the cops. And I don't think I told my mom that I called the cops, but I called the cops. I don't think she knew it was me. But I called the cops and they showed up like, oh, how's everything going here? And I was like, and I'm standing by the door knowing full blown what I called them. And then my mom's like, who called the cops? I was like,
well, your mom knows now. I mean,
that's true. She knows now. So it really did get bad between both of them. Like it was heated. And like, I don't remember her husband though. I don't remember her husband. I don't remember him really saying anything. And I remember my dad at the time, he was at work. So he wasn't around. Like it would always happen like during the day, you know? And then when my mom used to find like these voodoo things by the door, it would really like, what are you doing? And I know you're trying to put curses on me. And because she had that in her childhood, it would like bother her. Like I know what that means. I know what that entails. I know like what that can do, and that you're so evil and wicked to want to do that to me and my kids, right? So then that was going back and forth. That was happening back and forth. And then what happened, one time I woke up in the middle of the night, couldn't sleep. And then I got scared. And it was just very eerie. The atmosphere was eerie. And I couldn't, you know, my mother would always tell me, don't go and come to me, call on Jesus. I called on Jesus. I was like, oh no, this isn't working. So I went and I ran into my parents' room. I ran into my parents' room. And it was still awkward, you know. I left my brother because I think we shared a room, but like bunk beds. So I left him high and dry. And then I went to my parents' room. And I would always sleep like in the middle of them. So what happened was their room was in the room was next to ours. And it was like a long hallway. And then that was like the front of the apartment. And the door was next to the bed. The door was next to the bed. So the door was like a little ajar because I came in the room. So I came in the room and I actually had asked my mom if she remembers this. And she said she did. So actually I will tell you what that was. So I'm in the, you know, in the bed and I got nervous. You know, I was nervous. And then I fell asleep. So I finally fell asleep in between them because I was scared. I was like, oh, this is weird. And I told them I'm scared. They just like, okay. My mom prayed with me, fell asleep. I woke up again. So I woke up and I'm just looking around the door. Like I said, it's open. I look, it's still like weird. Like I'm still like, no, it's like scary. I don't understand. I get up. I look to the left. I looked to the left because that's where the door was. It was still open, but that this time it was like open more. It wasn't like that. It was like open this much where you can see the living room from down the hallway. I see a man in my living room smoking a cigarette with a three-piece suit on. And I was just like, I was just like, oh my gosh. First of all, that was Satan in my room. I mean, in my apartment. And I told you that I just, you know, I woke up my parents and they woke up. My parents wouldn't wake up. They would not wake up. I'm waking up my parents. They wouldn't wake up. And I'm thinking, I'm like, no, I'm dreaming. There's no way. And I'm like, you're smoking in my mom's house? Ooh, my mom's, she doesn't like that. So I was actually like concerned. You are smoking in my mother's house. Like that is not, you don't do that in my mom's house. So I was like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And so I don't know what came over me, but I got out of the bed. Cause I was like, no, there's no way there's somebody in my house. I got out of the bed and I went to like the door and I poked my head out and he's still sitting there. And this time he looks up at me. Like I saw his eyes lock mine. I was like, I just like, I couldn't even like, I froze. And then after I froze, I ran back and I got in my mom's bed and they would not wake up. They wouldn't wake up. They would not wake up. So I was like by myself and I just started panicking. I panicked. I did. I panicked and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I think that's when I started calling on Jesus because at this point, my parents aren't waking up. I'm calling on Jesus. They're not waking up. And then all of a sudden, I think my dad woke up. He finally woke up. And then I was telling him what happened. I told my mother what happened. I was telling her what happened. And I looked and he wasn't there.
So and then once you said the name of Jesus, he disappeared?
Yes. When I was panicking, I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus, because my parents were waking up and those were my go-to. And they were not getting up. I had to be maybe 7 or something like that. I was really young, 6 or 7 or something like that. But I remember this because it was so scary. It was scary to see just a person in your house like that, you know? And as soon as I was like, okay, I gotta go. I was like, Jesus, please help me. That's when my parents woke up. And then after they woke up and they were like, oh, what's wrong with you? Da, 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 da. And I was telling them and I looked, gone. He was gone. But I ended up being like very, after that, I was so nervous to get up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
After that, oh my gosh. But I didn't know it was Satan. And then I later, like way later in life, God was like, yep, he was in your house. And I thoroughly believe he was in my house because of her, the woman upstairs. Because my mother would not back down. She would not back down. She wasn't afraid of her at all, you know? So I think she tried to maybe summon and gather like her witch friends, I don't know, and get help to try and, you know, scare, you know, her. I mean, work, I was scared. I was scared.
You know what? You said something that's really important about your mother, how you said your mother wasn't having it and she wasn't scared. And I feel like that's the key, because when you're fearful, you're working with the devil's tools. So she was like, absolutely not. Absolutely not, in the name of Jesus. And that's why they had no effect on your family.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. However, it's still like opened something where I was able to see him.
What's happening.
Yeah. But I was already seeing things anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm now like, I was like, I put it up to, I was like, okay, God, this had to be from her doing. Mm-hmm. And like whatever else was going on with my mom, that these people didn't like her and what they were saying, because why am I seeing these figures? And it was like ominous. It was eerie. It wasn't anything like, you know how in the word, it always says, do not be afraid. No, mm-hmm. It was just like, ooh.
So what was it about him that made you realize as a child that this is Satan himself?
So as a child, I didn't know it was Satan. It was later. Okay. After the Lord had revealed certain things to me that I didn't understand. I didn't really understand what was going on throughout my life, you know? So it's like God helped me to understand why I was the way I was and when certain things happened, and helped me tag certain things in my past. And when it came to that moment, because I did bring that moment up, I was like, what was that? Who was that? He was like, oh, that was Satan. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, okay. Oh, but I remember the atmosphere. I will never forget that. And then I actually asked my mom. She was like, yep, I remember that. You woke me up in the middle of the night and I prayed with you. And then you went to sleep. I was like, you remember that? She was like, yep. And I asked my dad, I was like, do you remember that? He was like, oh, vaguely. So I was like, oh my goodness. Yes.
Yeah. And that's good. So like, that confirms that it wasn't a dream for you. You know, people wonder if it's a dream, but your parents remember.
Right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's deep. So you mentioned something to me earlier, Samantha. You said that people really do underestimate witchcraft. What do you mean by that? Because this is not saying, you know, this is not telling people to be fearful of witchcraft, because if you're born again believer, you should not be afraid of witchcraft whatsoever. But you said that people really do underestimate the power of witchcraft. Why do you say that?
Because it's actual, it's still power. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I mean? You would, if you're, to me, that's like you're out here naked. You don't have anything. You have nothing. God puts voids in us that only he can fill. And as he's filling those voids, right, he's helping us, he's settling us, he's also empowering us through him, under him. It's like being in the army, like Jesus and is the general, and we're the soldiers, and some of us are captains, some of us, but it's all under him. So it's like, and as you know, when you're in the army, you have artillery, and that's kind of like your power, you know what I mean? If as an analogy, if that makes sense. So I just think that people don't realize that it's still power. It's not little like, oh, it's just little. No, if you are out here and you are not covered, you are not having that relationship, they will, because if there's one thing about Satan, he's relentless. He's relentless because he knows his time is running out. And he's just trying to gather as many, it's like misery loves company. He's trying to gather as many miserable anybody, unfortunately, as much as he possibly can. And you don't want to be caught in that crossfire. Like there was another story, another time where I remember this one time we were just in suburbs. We were in New Jersey. We were at my mom's friend's house, and they had like a open like yard, so there was no gate like in the front, but the backyard, it like led to the woods, some houses they lead to the woods. Yes. Right,
a lot of New England and New York is like that. Yeah
Yeah.
The Deep Believer team and I would like to thank you so much for your support throughout the years. Without you, we would not have been able to stay on this platform. So we want to thank you so much. We've received many requests as to how to support and continue to support this ministry. By becoming a monthly partner or making a one-time donation, you ensure that Deep Believer Ministries continue its vital works and remains operational. Your financial support aids our team in traveling globally, reaching unreached people groups with the transformative message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every contribution, large or small, helps us to spread the hope and faith to the furthest corners of the earth, making a profound impact in the lives of many. 100% of donations and contributions go towards Deep Believer Ministries and our causes. So if you would like to become a partner today, just go to www.deepbeliever.com/partner.
So my brother was about maybe like 100 feet from me. It was like we made a triangle. So I'm here, the house is here, and then my brother's here. So I don't even know what I was doing. I think I was just standing there. My brother was like, playing around. And then all of a sudden, my brother looks at me and he said, "Oh my gosh, Samantha, watch out." And I was like, "Huh?" And then I turn back and I see a masked man behind me about to grab me, to take me. And my brother yelled out to my parents, "Someone's trying to take Samantha, someone's trying to take Samantha." And my parents ran out, because I guess they were right by the door, by the side door. They ran out and he ran away. And later in life, like I remember that, but later in life, I thought it was just a imagination. I thought it was just something that I thought had happened to me. And one time at the dinner, Thanksgiving dinner table, I had just had let me ask them. And I asked them, "Did this ever happen?" And they all looked at me like, "Yes." And they all told me where they were. They remembered where they were. They remembered what my brother said. My brother remembered what he said. The only person that wasn't around was my little sister. However, like they were telling me like these things happened. And then when I asked my mom, like, "What do you think what that was?" She said, "I think a witch did some sort of spell or voodoo on you. Because if there's one thing they knew I love my family." So I was like, "Oh, interesting." Yeah. So that's why I say, if you're not covered by the Lord Jesus Christ, you're open to Satan. You know,
so who are covered? Who are the people who are covered? Because I could ask you who's not covered. You spend all day on that. But who are covered under the blood of Jesus and the protection of the Lord?
To be honest, I think a lot of people are covered by those who pray for one another, right? So for example, even though I strayed after I got older, after I grew up, I got older, I was covered by God from my mother. So my parents covered me. So I was covered even though I was in this disobedience and I was, you know what I mean? I was outside, And I wanted to have a good time. I was sold that lie that, "Oh, Christianity is boring. You're missing out." I thought I was missing something, and I wasn't. It was me. I was a problem. My heart wasn't right. There were holes in it. I wasn't, I didn't have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I was a moving target. Like I was open for things to come towards my way. However, my mother was a praying woman, so I was covered by her. And then another way you can be covered. So you can be covered like that, but I don't suggest that be your situation, because you want to have that relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. You want to do your part, especially as an adult, as a grown person, you want to have that personal relationship and of course still be covered and you're praying for one another. You know, that is to me optimal. Like, you want to have that relationship and you want to be on offense, warring, you know, spiritual warfare, that is. And then for those of them, you don't have anybody praying for you. You do not know God. You know, you're not subscribed to things of Lord Jesus Christ. If he doesn't have a plan for you and you just didn't reach it yet, you're not covered. You don't want that to be you, you know, because Satan's plan, he's wicked. And he will use anybody and anything to take you out, to take you down, or make you a part of his plan. And you have no idea. You don't need to know that you're a part of a Satan's plan. It just as long as you're sinning, you're fair game. And some people think that he needs to make you aware of this. No, he doesn't. Technically, legally, he does not have to do that. You know? Now, God, of course, Yeshua is going to explain things to you and show you certain things because he's a father. He loves, he cares. He wants to teach you, he wants to show you. Satan does not care about you. So you can be under Satan's planning. You're like, no, I'm just a good person and I'm just here on earth and I just want to be good and I just want to make sure I do good to people. What is good anyway? You know, do you even know what good is, first of all? And second, like, no. And that's why God says, my people perish due to lack of knowledge. Satan doesn't care if you don't know. He cares that you're doing whatever it is that you're doing and you're acting upon your flesh. You're being weak for your flesh. So when your flesh, like, for example, let's say you want to go to the gym, right? You know, you want to get that workout in, but your flesh is like, I don't feel like it. But either you succumb to you saying, I don't feel like it, or you say, no, I need to get up. I need to do this workout. We're going. We meaning you and your body. You know what I mean? Like, we are going. Because sometimes I'll like speak to myself out loud, no, we're gonna go do this. We need to go do this. It's not about what I feel. Because if I succumb to everything I felt like doing, I'd be a couch potato, you know? So I believe that's what covered really means. And you want to be in the best position you could possibly be, because tomorrow isn't promised. Some people are writing, and I'm like, I don't even know how I was doing it. And how was I doing it? Anxiety and all these other isms and all these other things, you know, that were coming my way and being worried and this and that. That's how I was doing it. And that's how you allow yourself to decay and rot and have all these, oh my goodness, I'm scared. And, you know, stress builds up because you're not relying on the things of the Lord. You're not spending time with the things of the Lord. Because when you're spending time with the things of the Lord, he's going to tell you what's going to happen in the future. And you know, when he says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. That's how you know you're speaking to him. When he says it is done, it is done. And when it happens, just like he says he was, you, my friend, are in contact with the Lord, okay? So I think that is what that entails. And I think I pray that people start to wake up to that, like yesterday. You know, because it's when you subscribe to the things of Lord Jesus Christ, you subscribe to success, but success under him. You know what I mean? So you don't want to spend all your time. And that was one of my fears. I was spending all my time doing so much and I wasn't doing anything. You want to do something that you want to be successful in God. You don't want to be successful in the world system, because you could be doing something and let's say you make a lot of money, have a good job and all these, you know, all these good things, and you're naked in the spirit. And that's when God will say to you, I don't know you. And you think, well, I included Jesus in my plan. No, you don't include Jesus in your plan. He includes you in his will. So, and I think that's where the misconception comes in. Is people think like, oh, you know, I go to church on Sunday, do a little hallelujah, shake a little tambourine, woo, 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 and that's it. No, it's a relationship daily, day and night, praying and speaking to God. Like, God is the only person. Like, who speaks to his people like that? Who says to somebody, it would take you a lifetime to understand how much I love you? Nobody talks like that because they can't back that up. God talks to you like that. And the only reason why you're not inclined to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not getting them time. You're not giving him that time. You're not allowing that relationship to build. We do it with literally everything else, but we don't do it with the Lord, yet we want the benefits of the Lord. That is not going to happen. So.
That's good. That's good. And you said something earlier to me, and it is so true how you said that witches and warlocks and those in the occult, they use our type of tools in a sense. What do you mean by that?
So, for example, when they, like, there are certain things, you said this, I forget on what interview, it could have been one of the ones with Mr. Earthquake Kelly, when you said, I think it's almost as if when witches come into the things of Christianity, they understand the spiritual realm. And it's almost as if it's kind of, not saying it is, but it's kind of like an advantage because they understand the spiritual realm. They don't have to go through that training of unlearning of what Satan has used to make us think that, oh, it's not real, it's fantasy, it's mumbo jumbo, like it's stuff like that. They know because they've been using it. You know what I mean? Even if they come to Christianity with ulterior motives, because let's be honest, when you realize that Yeshua the Christ has more power, you're like, let me go there because this is like child's play. You know what I'm saying? And then even when you try to do that, because God knows your heart, he's going to break that down and you're not going to get anywhere because he knows what, think about, if somebody can know what you're thinking, you can't get away with anything. So you might as well be honest. You know what I mean? We need to understand that Satan doesn't know anything. He's not a creator. He just uses what God already gave him, like the little power he gave him. He just has to utilize that, and he has to become deceptive because a lot of things he cannot do. However, if you give him legal right, he'll send his minions, he'll send his little witches and those demonic nasty demons, and he'll send them your way. You know what I mean? And he has to become like clever. Just like kind of like MacGyver, he had to become clever because he had no choice because he's in the middle of nowhere with like string and paper and he made a bomb out of it. Like, you know what I mean? Or not a bomb. I don't want to say a bomb, but like, you know, he made like a bow and arrow with string and like leaves. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's Satan. He has to make do with what he has, you know? And he is real. He realizes like, okay, hey, God's people, your people that you care about oh so much, they have no idea who they are. You know, they're not utilizing, so he's sending the witches to do that. So they have access, because God gave access to earth, to mankind. So they're taking advantage of, let's say, the earth, right? The earth, they understand and they know it's true, the earth is feminine, because anything you put inside of it, guess what? It brings you, when you put lemon seeds, you get lemons. When you put apple seeds, you get an apple. When you put squash seeds in, you get squash. So it's like it gets impregnated and then boom, it has a lemon baby. It has a lemon tree, an apple tree. You know what I mean? So it produces, you know? So the earth is supposed to be working for us. We don't worship anything mm-hmm. other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, like the moon, the stars. I believe there's a verse in Deuteronomy. And I believe who also preaches on this, I think his name is Troy Brewer and Katie Souza also, and also Pastor John Anosike, they speak on, we're supposed to be governing, first of all, the realms. We're supposed to be governing the realms. We're supposed to be ascending into heaven, coming down, ascending into heaven, bringing that information back down, ascending into heaven. We don't have to wait until we pass on. We don't have to wait for that. We can see Jesus now. We can go into heaven now. For he said in Revelation, I believe it's 4, when he told John to come up, I'm waiting for you to come up and write down what I need you to write. We can do that as well, you know? And we're supposed to be bringing down that spiritual intelligence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when people talk about, oh, logic, it's like, you don't even have, logic doesn't exist without the Lord.
That's right.
Intelligence is here is because God is allowing you to have it. We're inhaling and exhaling because of the Lord. And he's allowing you to live. That's grace in itself. So it's like Satan is utilizing his witches and his warlocks to utilize, or I was without saying the word again, to use what we should be using. But however, we do it according to the proper procedurals and protocols that is acceptable by the Lord. So when witches say they astral project, they're doing that illegally. However, They're doing it from the demonic standpoint. When we ascend, we're still going and some of, you know, have that outer body experience, right? However, we're doing that according to the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. We may be ascending to see something or visit the Lord Jesus Christ or go to heaven or a warring in the spirit, you know? So there's, we have to know who we are, and we can't allow these wicked entities take over and then ask, oh, what's going on and why? It's like, it's because we're not moving correctly. You know, we're not standing right. We're not standing erect, actually. We're not standing tall and confident in Christ. However, still remaining humbled, because we can't stand right without Christ. We can't even breathe without Christ. And the reason, like, there are some people that today, unfortunately, they didn't wake up. That was it. You are still here. You know what I mean? So if your entire being isn't to complete the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a problem, you know? So that's what I mean when I say these witches and warlocks are utilizing tools. Like, the fountain of youth, people are the fountain of youth. You know what the fountain of youth is? Christ. That's about, he is the fountain of youth because he's eternal. He defeated death. We don't age. We don't die. But nobody wants to believe that. People are fighting to say, no, we die. No, we are not supposed, we are eternal beings. In Colossians 1:29, it says that he gives us access to superhuman energy. Superhuman. Okay, he says, Acts, what is it? 1:8, dunamis power. We have access to, these are powers and abilities that he's given us so we can utilize his plan. So when he puts your purpose in front of you and you're like, how in the heck am I going to do that? You are not going to do that. God is going to facilitate you and remove. I think Matthew 15:13, I believe it says, let God uproot anything he didn't plant. So whatever you allowed in yourself, God shall uproot it, and then he'll replace it with all his goodness. And he'll just start to uncap what he already has in you. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's so much to know. And he said it, I will tell you all my secrets, all my deep secrets. It's like, he's telling us, he is telling us in plain, some of it, excuse me, a lot of it is in plain text. He's saying, I will. And he will. And we've seen him do it. You know, we've seen him do it in his word. What makes you think that's not true? And that's part of the trick of the enemy. He's making you think God doesn't exist, or he doesn't exist. This doesn't exist. So then you waste your life doing a whole lot of nothing, right? And you think you're doing something and you think you're being successful because people say, oh, this is what you're supposed to do. No, you need to get that instruction from God. However, you think you're successful. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. You're naked in the spirit. You get to where you need to get to, where God judges you. And he's like, I'm sorry, who are you? Like, you don't want. And then for eternity, forever, because separation from God is hell, right? For eternity, forever, you're just, that's it. You know what I mean? So I just think the way God presents it, I personally would make that choice. And I'm going to go that way.
Just recently, you went to Haiti. And the glory of God was on you and your mother, where even the witches of Haiti noticed it. Could you take us there?
Okay, so when I got there, it was already like, you could tell there's like, okay, there's eerie. It's eerie. It's not this home. Oh, I just got off the plane and going to the islands, Caribbean. No, it's like, there's something here that, you know what I mean? That shouldn't be here, you know? And then when we left the airport, it was me and a close friend to the family. When we left the airport, and you could just see there's still the rubble there from the 2009 earthquake. And it's like, oh my goodness. And then, because I was staying in Port-au-Prince. And when I stayed in Port-au-Prince, even we went to the market, I believe, that same day that we landed to, you know, get food. So who we were staying with, she can cook. And we went with her like, oh, yeah, of course, let's go. Let's go see what's going on. the looks that we encountered, it was, I remember I had a long sleeve shirt on. I had like pajama pants on. I was very, and so was my, the girl that, the woman that I was with. So we were covered, literally. I think we both had long sleeve and we both had like long, you know, we weren't revealing at all. And it was the looks that we got. It was strange. Just like you said, it wasn't elevator eyes. Love that term. I don't know what they call that. It wasn't elevator eyes. However, it was this look like they were staring into your soul. And I was just like, and at the time I was still, you know, I wasn't really like, really into the things of the Lord as much, you know? And I called on Jesus when I was there. Oh my goodness. And even, so we were in the market and then she had left us. You're like, okay, stay here. I'm going to go. She wanted to go navigate around the market. And she left me and my friend there. And a friend of the family, she left us there. And oh my goodness. And she was looking at me. I was looking at her like, where is she? She was only gone for like 10 minutes. It felt like 45 hours because the atmosphere, it was so thick. You felt and you knew that it was like, I wouldn't be surprised if like a demon was standing right next to me and I just didn't know. That's how eerie it was. Even she was like, yeah, I'm getting a little nervous. And she wasn't that type of person to be like a nervous kind of or worrisome kind of person. And then like later that night when we slept in we had two bedrooms. So my bedroom had a bathroom and her bedroom had a bathroom. It was her kids' like old room, but they didn't live there anymore. And they had like lamps in the room because unfortunately in Haiti, they had like, there's like this one, electric company and they would just turn off their lights. So everybody has generators. So it's like kind of loud in Haiti too, because everybody has a generator. So, which is the only thing I could say that's, okay about that is that there was no, light pollution. So you're able to see like literally the stars. And there's like, honestly, because we have so much light pollution, there's like shooting stars like all over the place. I was like, oh, I know that's a sidebar, but besides that, so when the lights did go off or when, you know, I had the lamp on, I am a full grown person with the lamp on. Cause I was like, there's no way I'm going to sleep in here by myself, without any light. And I kid you not, I know there was something in the room. There was something in the room. And I remember I'm old enough now and I'm grown. And I got up out of the bed and I kind of stuck my head outside in the hallway. I didn't see anything moving, but I knew something was there. I knew something was there and it was ominous. And so that's when I started praying. I was like, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Like it was, and the whole stay was like, even I think the last night I didn't sleep by myself. I think I went in the bed with her because I was like, I'm scared. I can't do this. I was so nervous. I was like, oh no, I can't. And I think she was like, oh yeah, that's fine. Because she was also like, there's something weird. And we both at the time were not where we should have been with the Lord. And for us,
who were you with?
So I was with a friend of the family. So I grew up, okay. She grew up with my family, like side by side, but she wasn't family, but she could have been she just might as well have been my cousin. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't, and we were both, we knew about the Lord. It's just we weren't into the things of the Lord at the time, like yet. I wasn't there like how I am now. But I remember, it was so eerie, and we were only there for like 3 days. And I remember the last day we were like, let's go to the airport, like we were. And then, but before we left, we went, I think, to the south part of Haiti. And what's really sad is that the south of Haiti, we were by the beach, beautiful. It is so beautiful. It didn't feel as eerie. We were out there during the day. You know, we got in the water. It's so beautiful. But that was the sad part, is that Haiti is a beautiful island. It's just unfortunate. And actually on our way there, they have this festival where they like paint themselves like black. And I think they're like honoring or worshiping. I think it was like a voodoo thing. And we were there. And then at the time, I remember saying to myself, this is so demonic. Oh my gosh. And we were driving to go to the beach. And then you see the locals, they're walking back from the ceremony and they're like painted in black. They're literally painted in black and they have like colors. It wasn't carnival. It was just a ceremony. And I was like, I remember, I was like, whoa, like that looked, it was, and they were painted and it just, it wasn't like festive and like, oh, that's cool. It was like, oh, this is no. I forget the name of it. I did look it up one day and I can't remember the actual name of the festival that they had. But, and that made sense. And I think I linked it to like, oh, that's probably what I experienced because they had that festival. And that's why it was so thick, because it was a huge gathering, you know? And so I was like, that makes sense. And yeah.
Wow. Okay. So when you were in a grocery store, how many people would you say were giving you weird stares? Like they were looking into your soul.
So it was like it was more so like a market, like, you know, kind of like a flea market.
Okay.
But it was kind of, you know, it was a market.
You like know open, what I mean? Was like an open area.
Market. Okay. Yeah, it was like an open market, right? Okay. So there was like, you know, they had goods, then they had like food, but that's where she went to go get the food and left us there. Mm. Everybody that walked past were just looking at us like, and you could tell they were talking about us, you know, because she knew a little bit more Creole than I did.
Yeah.
So she could make out what they were a little bit. And she was just like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And I mind you, she was only gone for like 10, 15 minutes. It felt like 3 days. I was like, and I felt like, oh my gosh, she doesn't come back. I feel like something's going to happen. It was like, it was so uncomfortable. And even the, cause she knew the woman that, she told her to like, oh, just keep an eye on her, them rather, keep an eye on them here as I go to the market really quick. So she told them that, and she told us in English that she told her, the woman that, and even the woman who was there, she was like, she was looking at us like we were just like we were like disrupting. We were disruptive. We just looked like a disruption. And then we went to go back because we walked there. And then she went to show us around. I was like, okay, cool. And we came back on a Tap Tap. And a Tap Tap is just like kind of like a taxi. Mm-hmm. And when we were in the Tap Tap, we had a whole bunch of bags. So I was blocked by the bags. And I think like one corner of my face was like showing like that. Why was the person like staring at my one eye? I was like, oh my God. I was looking at the person. I was like, oh my God. And I tried to just like not make eye contact. And I tried to just like, you know, turn my head and like look, I just tried to like look away or whatever, because it was sad to see like that is what is over there, but it was eerie. It was ominous. It was like, oh my goodness. You know what I mean? And I've been to a couple of Caribbean islands. So I haven't experienced that. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was like, what is going on here? And then when I saw the festival and I was like, oh, so it was just like, sense. They had, yeah, it made sense. It made like sense. And that's when I was like, okay, it's time to go. We gotta go. And it was only 3 days, 3 days. And it's really sad what's going on in Haiti. I think that at this point, the gangs are like taking over and it's really, really sad. It's really sad. And that's why we need to continue to war and pray and go to spiritual warfare, because that would knock those demonic things out of the way, you know?
Amen. Amen. We need to pray for them. And you know what? You mentioned something interesting, how they kept looking at you. And I know you mentioned that you weren't walking with God the way you're supposed to be. But one thing I realized is that those who are heavily in the occult, their eyes are trained to see into the spiritual realm, where us Christians, we should be trained too, but you know, we just keep Christianity at a skin surface, but we don't go deep. But so even though you weren't walking, like you said, where you were supposed to be, do you believe that they saw Christ in you somewhere, or did they see a protection around you, or did they see angels? What do you think?
I think it was like a protect, because I remember when I told my parents I was going down there, they were so, I think my dad stopped talking to me. They were upset. They didn't
want from there. Oh. So they know.
Yeah, they're from there. They knew you don't go, not right now. This is not a good time. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you've been saying that my whole life. So I'm like, no, I want to go and see where I'm from, you know? And I know my mother was heavily praying. I know she was heavily praying, because I think she started off your interview actually telling you how when she was just 2 years old, they tried to poison her. And that was there when she was there, you know? And I believe they hated my grandmother. So I believe they couldn't stand my grandmother either. My mother seeing me go there, my dad seeing me, and he grew up there. He came here when he was, I think, late teens. had to be 17, 18, 19. So he was older and he saw a lot of, he said he saw a lot of wicked, demonic things going on in Haiti as well. He saw a lot of like rituals and like crazy stuff like that he saw there. So they knew. So if me is saying, yeah, I'm going to Haiti, they're like, oh my goodness. So I know they're praying. So I think it was more so a covering because I was scared. I was not strong and confident in things of God at all. I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is going on? Because I, at that point, I have traveled already. And I'm like, this, I never felt this. And even like at the airport, we almost didn't, when we first got there at the airport, they charged us to get our passports back.
Wow.
We landed, we went through customs, they took our passports. We saw other people getting their passports back. They took ours because we weren't from the country. We were from America, you know, American passport. And then they took our passports and they charged us to get it back. I did not have cash because I forgot to get cash. God told me, we both didn't have cash. We wouldn't have got our passports back. God was like, look in your purse. I was like, God, I don't have cash in my purse. Look in your purse. I remember like just wanting to look in my purse, but I knew I did not get cash. I only had my card because I forgot. I remember it was an impromptu trip and I just kind of went. So I didn't have time to go to the bank or anything like that. And I'm like, I never used to even carry emergency cash, which was not smart. Always carry emergency cash. But I didn't do that. I looked in my purse, they charged us $20 to get back our passports. I had $20. I was like,
look at God.
I knew that was God. I knew that was God because I did not have, I used to never carry cash on me. I was always paying with my card at that point in my life, you know, Apple Pay. I was always paying, you know, with that. I did not have cash on me at all. And I knew when he told me to open it, I just got this heavy feeling. Open it. Cause she said it. She was like, oh my goodness. The woman that I was with, she was like, oh my goodness, I have no cash on me. Oh my goodness. She started panicking. She was like, how are we gonna get our passport? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I looked at her. I was like, and I was like, oh my gosh, we barely got in the country. And I was like, oh my gosh. So then when God was like, look in your purse. And I was like, what is this bothering me to look at my purse? And I opened my little coin purse attached to my keys. And then I opened it and I was like, and I had the exact amount that they wanted, gave him, we got our passports back.
Praise God. You know, that reminds me of when Jesus told his disciple to go pay the, you know, when they got the information about the taxes, they didn't have the money for it. So Jesus said, go in the fish's mouth, go to the water, go to the fish's mouth and grab the money out. And I'm like, well, your purse was the fish's mouth. So Samantha, so all this has happened in your life, right? And you were raised knowing the truth, and even though you still had some stuff on you, right? And I know you mentioned now you're still even working things out now. How have you broken it off? How have you broken the residue that has passed a little bit on from, you know, your mother's upbringing to yours? How did you break it off?
So the first thing I did was I got to a point, and I think that's happened to a lot of people. They get to a point where they're like, enough is enough. I know something's missing. I know something's wrong. Like, this isn't it. I remember I was with a former friend, and I said to her, like, something is just not right. Something is missing. And I don't know what it is. And when she said, you're doing great, nothing's missing, I knew it was spiritual. So that's what I just knew. I'm like, oh no, okay, it's spiritual. So that's when, you know, I made a decision. I was just like, okay, I need to, because it was a void. It was like a hole. It was like there was a hole in me. And everything I did, it didn't matter. It just wouldn't go away. And I couldn't get this hole. I didn't know what to do. So I always knew, because of my background, when you don't know what to do, you just go to God. Because that's it. That's just the ultimate answer. So I went to God and I'm like, what is going on? And then I started to realize, like, you know, this thing that we call life and that we're doing, there just seems to be, I always felt like this waking up, going to school, go to work, get a career, pay bills, up the wazoo, and then die. It just, that can't be it, you know? And so that's when I kind of like, all right, let's make this decision to do this. And even though I still slipped, I slipped and fell, but I made a decision to like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then God would like kind of bring to my attention, if you're going to do this, this can't be around. And I'm just like, okay, well, how about since I'm having issues getting rid of anything, how about you get rid of them? And he did. He got rid of them. And so when he got rid of everything, I was like, oh, this is what peace is. I always thought I knew what peace was. And I didn't know what peace was because I didn't realize that it's like, even though some people may not be actively doing witchcraft on you, they can maintain some sort of witchcraft or some sort of word of death over your life. They can maintain it by how they speak and, you know, whatever's in or on them may try to come onto you. And you know what I mean? So those type of things. So when you get rid of that, you know, because bad company can corrupt good morals, when you get rid of those things, and then you kind of, and that's when I put my feet down, like 10 toes, 2 feet down in the sand. I said, no, okay, I need to like really focus. And I made a promise. I said, God, I promise, just fix this hole, like please fix me. I need help. Like, you know what I mean? Fix me. So once I did that, and like, God was like, I felt, you know, shame, you know, you feel shame and you feel condemned. And that's when he was like, don't feel that because I forgave you. So let me help you. So he's been helping me. So he's been taking things off, but he's been doing it in a pace where if he did it all at once, I'd be like, oh my gosh, what's the point of this? Like, what's the point of life? You know what I mean? So he had to do it in stages. So he did it in stages and he was able to reveal certain things to me. And he was able to reveal certain things to me and he was able to say and show me certain things. And this is where that came from. Take me back to my past. Certain things I totally forgot even happened and tag them. Like, this is that. And I'm like, okay, why are you tagging these things and helping me understand? Cause I'm helping you understand why you got here, why you're here, why you're this, and how I'm going to use this to help you. How I'm going to use that to help you and use this to teach you and use this and that. I'm like, oh. And I'm like, even though I made mistakes and I made wrong decisions and I totally ignored you and I didn't listen to you, he's like, yeah, I'm going to use everything you didn't do or did to serve me. I'm like, but even though I did not, let me get this straight. Even though I did not listen to you, I didn't. He's like, yeah. And I was just like, oh. So ever since then, and my prayer has been, I want to know the truth. I want to know what you originally wanted us here to do, what you wanted us to, who you want us to be for you. Am I wasting my time? Am I working on doing a whole bunch of nothing? What am I doing? Where am I going? Am I walking towards you or am I not? And that's when he's just started to reveal things piece by piece by piece. He's still doing it now. He's still like working on me now. So it just became very like, oh, so it's like the more I came close to him, the more I started worshiping him, the more I started being very intentional, just like you do with any other relationship. I started to be intentional. I started to carve out time. I started to, at work, like carve out time, like make time. Anytime I had a break, it went to the Lord. Any driving to work, the Lord. Come back home, the Lord. So I started to be more intentional. And there were things like bad habits I curated and bad things that I curated and I couldn't stop. So I couldn't let go. So I'm like, God, I don't really necessarily see this happening or working. So I'm going to need help. And I was honest. I was like, God, I'll be honest with you. I like doing this. I like doing that. And I know it's not of you and I need help. So can you help me? Because I don't want to lie and pretend and say, oh, well, I'm like, no, I need help. And the next thing you know, he got all these things out of the way. Some of them cold turkey, some of them gradual. So I don't go back because what Satan does is when he knows what button to press and where to poke, he's going to keep doing it. And sometimes he's going to send agents who are at a higher ranking than the other ones. And then he'll send them and they'll be more slick, more sly, more slithery, more snaky to try to get you to do what he wants you to do, to try to get you to move backwards. Because his whole thing is to misalign you. Because once you're aligned with the Lord Jesus Christ, he just keeps revealing who you are through him. He reveals him to you. And you're just like, oh my goodness. And it becomes so beautiful because you're just like, I wasted time. I wasted doing this or that. And he's like, yeah, you did. I mean, I'll give it back to you, but you did, you know? And he's so gracious because you're just like, and then he's awesome too. And then I know some people are like, what is this gracious and this awesomeness you're talking about? I don't see it. Like, I go to church and it's boring. Every time I pray, it's like, it's been 10 hours and it's been 3 minutes. Like, what is going on? It's just, you have to be ready to give yourself up to Jesus, and you have to be intentional. And the more intentional you are, the more you read the word and you ask the Holy Ghost for help. Accepting the Holy Ghost is key, because once you do that, the Holy Ghost is like your best friend that 24/7, 25/8, if there was a such thing, will never leave you. And as soon as you say, Holy Ghost, help me, he will help you. Help me understand this word. Help me decipher it. And sometimes God doesn't let you understand something because you don't have enough understanding, or you don't have enough behind you yet to receive that word. You know, he's just building you up and building you up and building you up and building you up to receive certain things. And he'll reveal it, because the word is alive. So as much as people say like, oh, I don't like God, I can't stand God, yet you follow the Ten Commandments. Most of you, a lot of you, you know, follow it. Do not steal and kill. Like, how do you know to do not steal or kill? You thought the Big Bang came and you just knew not to steal and kill? No, you know what I'm saying? So that's how he worked through me. It's just being intentional and keep going and going. And then you're going to see, like, as I was being intentional, that hole that I had, it was just like, oh, it was like filling up, filling up, filling up. I was filled. And I remember, I was like, why am I so joyful? Like, I'm so, like, after I would pray and praise, it was like somebody gave me like, what is it? A Red Bull. I was like, why am I so energetic? I was like, where am I getting all this energy from? Like, it was just kind of, it was like, what is going on? And then when I started to do it, kept doing it, I realized, oh, this is from God. This is like a natural, like, energy. I'm like, oh. And then 1 Colossians 29, you have superhuman energy. That's in the Amplified version. It says superhuman energy. He will give us that. We have access to that, to utilize it. And I'm like, I didn't even know what that was, because I actually found out that verse maybe a few weeks ago. I think that was Miss Katie Souza had mentioned that. But that was like a few years ago when I found that, when I was like, oh, she was so excited to, you know, after I would pray and I have all this energy, and I didn't even know what that was yet. I just didn't understand why I was so like, and I would kind of start commanding my day. Like, you know, and trying to receive the daily bread. Like, okay, God, what do you want me to do today? You know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, you want to know how to operate your time for when those moments come that Satan can't even touch. I think it's called Kairos moments. When those moments come that Satan can't touch it, nobody can touch it. What God says is going to happen. And that's just it. That's just it. Like, period. It's just going to happen. You're ready for it. You know? So that's how I kind of like built my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I didn't really know about the secret place until he told me. I read about the secret place. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh, that's what Then I started spending time in the secret place. Awesome. Like, you know what I mean? And you don't want to leave. You don't want to go. God has to like kick you out. Like, okay, you got to go. I'm like, no, I want to stay here forever. He's like, no, you got to go. You know what I mean? So it's, and then you can see Jesus's face. You can go up. You can do these things. And people think, no, you have to be a prophet. You have to do, no. No, you don't. You don't have to be labeled anything. Just being his son and daughter and being an heiress and accepting him as your Lord and your Savior and welcoming the Holy Ghost, that's way more than enough. You know what I mean? That's more than enough. And he gives you even more access to more things. I'm just like, oh my gosh. And then the information he has, it's so much. And for the people that want to, you know, oh, remain logic. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with book intelligence, please still read. Like, read. Okay, reading is great. Reading is fundamental. Read.
I was about to say that reading is fundamental.
Yeah, like, please. Don't not read. Reading is great. Reading is fundamental. However, it's like the intelligence that you step into when you step into the things of Lord Jesus Christ, it is beyond, it's like eons above, like, this world and then this earth, like this universe, it's just eons past it. So if you subscribe to the intelligence of Lord Jesus Christ and it's eons above here, it's like way beyond earth, that means that you'll have the wisdom and understanding and knowledge and intelligence for here as well. You know what I mean? Because if we're supposed to govern and we're supposed to have dominion over this place, that means we have to know how to operate. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I just think I think Satan is working at keeping us short-sighted. Working at keeping us ignorant. So it's like, okay, stay stagnant. That's right with me, because you won't know who you are. That's fine. let me just, you know what I mean? So then you start to, you know, speak things that are normal that are not normal. You know what I mean? That's like, that's not normal for it to happen. Oh, like, for example, anxiety. It's like, it's happening so much that people think it's normal. That is not normal.
Thank you. I'm so glad you mentioned that. And now they're calling it a disease, and even depression. Oh, it's a disease. Yeah. They're not diseases. Sorry, they're not diseases. All right, so Samantha, I love how you mentioned this as well, because people like to put God into a box, not realizing they're putting God into a box. Mm-hmm. How people say, I've heard this past Sunday, how a person got up and preached and they said, yeah, when it comes to anxiety, God doesn't do that right away. He doesn't heal right away. It takes time. Well, guess what? And you mentioned it just now. You said there were some things God took control of and he got rid of it right away. And there was other things that gradually began to heal. So the Lord can do whatever he wants, how he wants. And there are some things where God takes time to do it in your life, or he does it immediately, just like that. So I'm glad you mentioned that, where some things God took you out of right away. Yeah. And then it took some time. So I'm glad you mentioned that. Could you do us a favor? And mind you, I just want to thank you so much, Samantha, because when we first spoke, you said, I'm nervous that I won't know what to say. Oh, you've said a lot. And I think you blessed a lot too. Directly from the throne of God. You did great. So could you pray for our audience right now? Could you do that for us?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here today. Lord God, thank you for speaking through me, essentially, Heavenly Father, because I came here not knowing what to say. Lord God, thank you for speaking through me. And if this reaches one person, Lord God, you said that you celebrate one for the 99, paraphrasing, Heavenly Father. So if this reaches one person, for them to come to you and they're able to resonate with this this testimony, Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that that person is blessed by you, is filled with your love, your grace, or people love your grace, your mercy, your honor, and understands who they are through you, Lord God. Lord God, we just want to utilize this platform so people can be reached and they can understand how you work, Lord God, and they can understand what Satan is trying to do, so they can understand what is going on, Heavenly Father, Lord God, and to bring Christianity out of that stagnancy and to allow people to have more of a relationship with you, Yeshua the Christ, Lord God, and they can focus on elevating with you, Heavenly Father, and not allowing the lies of Satan to dictate them. Lord God, we ask that you reach your children in a way where they can understand, listen, let's detach ourselves from the world system and attach ourselves to Abba Father system, how you operate, how you work, Lord God, and getting your people up and keeping that fire going, or reigniting that fire that some of them may have had with you, or some are just starting with you, Lord God, and keeping that fire lit, Lord God, for you, Heavenly Father, and allowing us to be scourged by you, to be trained and disciplined by you, Heavenly Father, so we can learn, so we can get out of these bad habits, some habits we don't even know that we have, Lord God, and continue, Lord God, to keep your people, Lord God, in filled with knowledge and understanding, Heavenly Father, so they know when or when not to, and they have the wisdom, Lord God, and the understanding, and then the insight, the sight, the foresight, hindsight, Heavenly Father, so they can operate this world, Heavenly Father, this earth, as you told us to do in the first chapter of the Bible. Lord God, you also given us instructions in Romans 8, 18 through 22. We are supposed to be releasing creatures, Heavenly Father. We have work to do. So continue to uproot, as you said in Matthew, I believe it's 13, 15, Heavenly Father, to uproot anything that you did not place in us, uproot anything you did not place in us, Heavenly Father, uproot anything that is not of you, that you did not place in us, Lord God, and replace yourself, Lord God, bring yourself in us, make room for you, Lord God, less of us, more of you, let your will be done, Heavenly Father, as we're supposed to bring heaven on earth, Heavenly Father, as we're supposed to bring your kingdom down here, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. So equip your people to wake up, stand tall, be confident in you, Lord God, we need to be confident in you, for this is about you, and you have allowed us to be a part of your will, which is an honor, Heavenly Father. So allow us to learn and discern and to understand and be keen and vigilant, cunning as a snake, soft as a dove, Heavenly Father. So we're able to utilize the tools that you've given us, Heavenly Father, to navigate, Lord God, to navigate and defeat, Lord God, through the armor also that you've given us to wear, to defeat the demonic entities, the Satan's evil, wicked plan, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. So continue to be and be with and encourage and comfort your children, Heavenly Father, and those who are on the fence and they think that you left them when you didn't, Lord God. Lord God, open up their hearts to your children. We know that obviously your cloud is moving. The tide is changing, Heavenly Father. You're making a mark. You're creating a mark in the sand right now, Lord God. You're calling your children home, Heavenly Father. We see that, Lord God. We see that, Lord God. So we ask that you continue to call them home and to open up the heart of those who may be a little lost, who may not know where to go, who may be empty and may just really don't know what to do, Lord God, and send those to plant seed and send others to water them, Lord God, so they can grow in you, because you are true love. You are true love. You are true. You are true love. You're grace. You're kind. You're patient. You're compassionate, Heavenly Father. Yet you're also a jealous God. You're also a God who we have seen your wrath in the Old Testament, Heavenly Father. And we do not want to be on that side, Heavenly Father, when you are not happy, when you are saddened by your people, Heavenly Father. So let us wake up. Let us wake up to the truth. Let us wake up to the truth, Lord God. Yeshua is the truth. Let us wake up to the truth, please, Heavenly Father. And yes, we may have a lot of unlearning to do from things that we have learned from yesteryear, Heavenly Father, and we may have a lot of unlearning to do, and that is okay, Heavenly Father, as long as it's for you to receive the truth, the knowledge, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father. So we love you, we adore you, we thank you, we lift you up, we lift you up, Lord God. And you said that there's something that we can give you is being grateful, gratitude. Grateful, Lord God. Let us not forget the us breathing right now, our body working right now, optimally right now, is because of you. We're inhaling and exhaling because of you. So we think that is grace right there. That's mercy right there in the name of Jesus. So we thank you. We honor you. We worship your name. We praise you. We thank you again and again and again. In Jesus' mighty name, we love you, we adore you, we bless your name, we lift you up on high, we lift you up high, we shall place you first. And for those who haven't been doing that, forgive us and award us time, or help us create time to make for you, in the name of Jesus, beginning our day with you, ending our day with you, in the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.
Samantha Elizay, I just want to thank you so much for that. That prayer was so powerful, and you're just a blessing and a joy. And I know so many people watching have been blessed, encouraged, and they've learned so much in these, I think, almost 2 hours that we've been talking. So I just want to thank you so
much. Feels like 30 minutes.
Only 30 minutes. That's right. To God, right? All right. God bless you, Samantha.
God bless you.
If you'd like to be born again and give your life to Jesus Christ today, pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and am lost without you. I'm convinced that you're my only saving grace and my only hope. No longer do I want to do life without you. I believe that you came to earth to die on the cross for my sins, rose from the dead 3 days later, and are coming back for me one day soon. Please come into my heart and be my Lord, Savior, and friend. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, get yourself a Bible and read it daily, and ask God to interpret every word for you. Then surround yourself with like-minded believers in Jesus Christ. Congratulations and welcome to the family.